everyone, and welcome back to the last episode of the Castlevania podcast. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me is the vampire himself, Jonathan, the Bloodsucker King. How you doing, buddy?
Bloodsucker.
You bloodsucker. That's like an insult for vampires, isn't it, John?
Sounds like a night rapist or something.
Well, I'm describing you perfectly well.
I know. Perfect, yeah.
Right, so guys, what we're going to do then, so this is episode 4 of the Castlevania Companion Podcast from Not Another Podcast. It's been a great sort of like TV series, very, very short, and what we're going to do in this episode is basically talk a little bit about it and then give our top 3 things about the actual episode, and then talk about the series overall and what we're hoping for our series 2, if there is going to be a series 2.
But no, that's already been commissioned, season 2.
Has it? Oh, then that's lovely, John. That is fantastic. But we'll talk about our expectations for that towards the end. But before we continue with this episode of the Castlevania podcast, where were you last week, John? You let me down. You let everyone down.
I let myself down, mate. What day was that again? Was it Thursday?
I don't know, but all of us were disappointed, you know, like, you must have got so much hate mail. God, saying, God damn you, John.
Yeah, I know, my Twitter box was festooned with people just hating me. The fact that I never come online and spoke to them, you know, they want to listen to my tones before they go to bed, for whatever reason they do that for, I don't know.
Yeah, but surprisingly, people actually like you, the sound of your voice, John. I wonder why.
Or they're obviously sick in their head or something.
So, what else have you been up to? Anything exciting? Any wonderful news? Or any, I don't know, what's been happening, buddy?
I've been alright, mate. Just been working hard. I don't know if you know the news, or everyone knows the news, but I'm going to be a father in February.
Wow. Right. See, I already know this, but like all of a sudden, just like all our listeners, thousands and thousands of listeners, they've just dropped whatever they're doing, and they're like, what? John said he's a father. Now, John, you are telling the truth.
Yes, so, you know, it is what it is. You know, we can't wait. Me and Shauna are very happy. I don't even call her Shauna anymore, to be honest with you.
What do you call her then?
The incubator.
The incubator. Wow, Shauna, congratulations. How would you put up with him?
Well, she's in the room now listening to the podcast, mate.
Wow. Yeah, but congratulations, Sean. Honestly, I'm ultra proud of you, you know, and a little bit of John as well, you know. But
well, wow. It was my pleasure.
No, that's absolutely amazing. So what names have you guys been thinking if it's a boy or girl?
I like the word Sephiroth. It's quite nice.
Right.
Sephiroth. Cloud.
Yeah, we haven't had a serious discussion about it yet, Andy. This is John's suggestions are a bit off the wall.
Yeah, very sort of like gaming there. But I was going to say, why not just call it Arnie, like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Arnie Keane, you know?
Arnold Keane, yeah, that could work.
Yeah, Kratos.
I think it would be a case of me running down the registry office while he's at work.
Yeah, just don't let him do it by himself, you know, because otherwise, God knows what you'll choose.
You can always name a child after, like, a James Bond villain or something. Like,
oh, yeah. Odd job. Yeah.
Who's the guy from Diamonds Are Forever? The black fella that blows up. Like, the voodoo one. Is that the voodoo one?
Oh, God, I know the one you mean, yes. No, it's not Salamanga. Oh, God. Who knows? But we're going completely off topic. I just wanted to say congratulations, matey. Honestly, well and truly proud of you, you know. Wow.
Just glad it works.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely not shooting out blanks, buddy.
Oh.
All right, so you know what? Let's talk about bloody Castlevania. Because it's the last one. I'm kind of glad we started doing this podcast. It was a perfect introduction for me to get back into podcasting and also catching up with you, John. All right, let's do our top 3 things about this particular episode. So tell me what your number 3 is, and then I'll tell you what my number 3, or I can always go first, buddy.
Go on in. Go for it, mate.
Right, so let me bring up my list then. Now, this I thought was a little bit more action-packed than the actual previous episode. I mean, it looks amazing, it's stunning, but okay. So earlier on in the beginning, you've got this cool looking demon and he enters a church, and this demon is it's kind of somewhat freaky, actually. Really fluorescent, glowy blue eyes. And he's got, like, his ribs sticking out. He's got these massive claws, and he just enters...
Can't you just describe one of my ex-girlfriends?
Oh, but honestly, I like the look of these demons. They are somewhat frightening, but they've got a very anime sort of manga style towards them, and I think it works really, really well. I like the way that works. And then it killed the priest, basically.
Oh, yeah, that was beautifully gory, weren't it, the way they did that. It kind of, the priest was talking about, oh, how God will save them all, and the demon was just like, nah, no chance, mate. And he just kind of, well, bit his head off, really, didn't he? It was off screen, you didn't see it, but, you know, it was pretty, pretty gruesome.
Okay, so that's my number three, matey. What is your number three?
I liked, Trevor's escape, you know, the whole, him trying to escape the mob, just like, mm-hmm. using his skills to get away, and also seeing what's her name, Cypher,
yeah,
Cypher using her magic, because you don't really see magic in the four episodes, do you?
No, you don't.
So you get to see her use her magic, and it's quite cool, like a nice contrast to the physical violence, as it were, you know, and seeing her use the magic to control the demons, as it were, you know.
Yeah, no, I thought that was fantastic. And I don't know if you know, John, but this is sort of like based on Castlevania 3 on the Nintendo Entertainment System. And, you know, you got a couple of playable characters there. And it's just nice seeing, like, all these characters that we grew up with and, you know, just in sort of like anime style and seeing what they do. Like, you know, Trevor with his, you know, with his whip, Cypher using a magic. And I don't know if you noticed, actually, John, but, you know, all the colours that they use for the characters, it sort of copies the colour palette to a certain extent of what the sprites used to look like in the game. So whenever you see Trevor, it's got that sort of colour, in the, you know, like, of Trevor, and then Cypher's got that sort of bluey sort of look. So nice little touch that was.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think one of the things they really got right for this the Castlevania was the art direction. I mean, I actually really like that typical kind of anime style. I think they took it in the right direction. And a lot of people online saying they didn't like it, but I actually think that kind of gruesome style actually works quite well.
Definitely
the colors as well, you know, I think it just really works quite well, you know.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, completely agree, mate. So let's move on to a number two then. So my number two is a little bit after that, actually. It's the bit where basically he calls out the priest. He's getting sort of like chased by a mob and everything like that. And the priest is sort of saying, you know, come on, guys, let's get him, whatever else. And he goes, no, I'm calling you out. No, just you, one-on-one. And then he tells basically the priest, you know, exactly like what he's done and how it's all his fault. And then everyone's sort of paying attention, and the priest is like, holy crap, I'm kind of doomed now. And then everyone just sort of like stabs him, basically.
What, the most fickle crowd known to man?
Yeah, the way they can just switch sides like that, I just love it.
Yeah, I know. This is unbelievable the way they did that. But, yeah, that's... I just think everyone's starting to come round to realise, I mean, how could they not know that the church just fucked them up completely? You know, the whole... You know, you've got 1 year to prepare your armies, and the next thing you know, you're all dying. And it's like, oh, who brought us to this conclusion? Let me guess that one. Mm. Oh, yeah, it was the priest, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I actually love the whole, you know, how evil the church is in this, in this series. It just sums up, like, the kind of, like, what the Catholic Church is going through right now, the whole, you know, the issues that it's going through. It kind of, like, mirrors real life a little bit. And it's like, you know, you can imagine, like, back in the medieval times, like, everyone were never had the education that we have now to question religion, as it were.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that's exactly what it went through. Like, religion was, you know, like, the be-all and end-all of their lives. Mm-hmm. So they had such a grasp on it, or such a yoke on everyone, you know?
Yeah, yeah, completely agree with that, mate. And that's why, like, the villagers were so sort of, like... going after Trevor for that reason. And, you know, like, it took someone as powerful and as sort of like impactful as Trevor for them to sort of like listen to him and for them to realize what was actually going on. So great point, mate. So what's your number two?
My number two is basically like the you see Trevor become a Belmont, you know, like ordering the peasants around and stuff like that. You know, you, like even though his family were betrayed by the church and stuff, you see, despite the fact that throughout the whole series he was like a, basically a reckless drunk, you saw glimpses of who he was.
Yeah.
Like, that towards the middle of this episode, you truly see like the true Belmont. Like he organises the peasants into fighting men, and you just see him become that leader, that general. You know, I like that kind of transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really, really good.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, because there were glimpses of that was sort of like coming out. You know, when you first saw him, he was like a bum in the sort of in the bar, just drunk. You know, and you're thinking, God, what is this, our hero? And it's like you said in the previous episode, you know, he's just like an ordinary fella. He has his flaws, but there's reason why he's been down and out, and now he's got a reason to fight, and we start to see the real Belmont in him. And I thought it was fantastic, the way he organised that crowd. You know, it was like, grab your things, you know, anyone with long sticks, form a line of six, and do this and that. And he knew exactly what he was doing, which was fantastic. And the way they took out those demons was just amazing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I liked, you know, the whole transition from his potential had been revealed, you know, who he truly is, you know, and he took the mantle, and he, you know, and he was just there organizing the troops, you know, becoming the leader that he was supposed to be, that his family are. Mm. So, you know, yeah, that was a highlight for me, definitely. Like one of the best parts of the series, if you ask me.
Before I go into my number three, John, I do want to mention one thing, though. After that fight, they sort of like fall through the ground, and as they start falling down, this is where it became more like the game to me. And this episode in particular, I really liked, because it felt more like the game. It used a whip, it had the cogs, because, you know, like in Castlevania, there's always like a clock level, and this kind of reminded me of that. And there's scenes where he's sort of swinging around, and did you notice how long that bloody whip went? I mean, I know it's a long whip, but it's one bit, and I'm thinking, hold on a second, it cannot reach as far as he actually used it. It suddenly just grew, you know?
Well, you know, it's, you know, maybe it's a bit like Batman, you know? He's like that bloody piece of thing, that contraption he's got in his belt, you know, when he can, that, I mean, it goes on forever. It's as long as powerful as the plot needs it to be. That's exactly what it is. That's as simple as it is.
You're so right, mate. You're so right. But anyway, let me tell you what my number three is then. Now, I don't know. It's no sort of secret or anything like that, but one of my favourite characters ever. It's not Belmont. It's actually Alucard. And we meet him, basically. So Cypher and Belmont, Trevor, they sort of go into this sort of room, and we see this coffin, and all of a sudden out this coffin comes out this hovering, this sort of like long blonde sort of skinny pale looking guy, and you know, you're thinking, who is he, you know? But I obviously knew who he was, but you know what, he didn't have the white blonde hair like he does in Symphony of the Night. I can't remember, what did he look like in the instruction booklet in Castlevania 3? Was it like yellow blonde, or was it white blonde?
White blonde.
Really? Oh, okay. I don't like the artistic style they went for. I mean, I think it would have looked better if it was white blonde.
What's the timeline on this? Is this during, before, or after Symphony of the Night?
Oh, this is a long time before. Long time before, yeah.
So maybe this is like
before, you know, he dyed his hair.
Yeah, before he got corrupted by his hair, like, you know, Daenerys.
Yeah.
You know? But. I'm just aping you, mate. I think this is my third part as well. Like the revelation of Alucard, i.e. Dracula, you know, because he was healing, obviously. He was healing for a year, wasn't he, after the fight with Dracula? Because he obviously got, you know, beaten up quite bad.
See, I did realise his name was Adrian Tepesh, also known as Alucard. I did not know that.
Mm.
I had no idea about that. I always thought it was just Alucard, which is Dracula spelt backwards.
Yeah.
But Dracula. I mean, I love that fight that they ended up having, though. That was the bit that I wanted to get to, John. It's just like two amazing Castlevania characters, you know, it's like the whip versus the sword. They sort of battle it out, and then it's a sort of like sword versus sword. So really action-packed. And, yeah, go on. So let's move on to your last number one, then.
My number one's the same as you, mate. The reveal of Alucard at the coffin, you know, and you know, Belmont's instinct is to take him out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and obviously he then realizes that, hang on a minute, this is not, he's not quite the normal vampire that you'd normally get. So his reveal was cool, like, you know, and then obviously become reluctant allies, as it were, shall we say.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it was like a stalemate at the end, wasn't it? He had his groin, his little dagger at his groin.
Yeah.
He had him by the neck. So it's like, all right, we are equals in this, so we need to take out the big guy. And obviously, on to the next series, whenever that's going to be, you know?
Yeah, you know what? So all these four episodes was just like pure setup. It's kind of like a long, long trailer for what will be the main series, which is season two of Castlevania. And I've got a feeling it's got to be longer than four episodes, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think, honestly, like, they put these four episodes out there just to test the waters and see how people would react to it.
Yeah.
And are overwhelmingly positive all over. I mean, you're going to get some people that are a bit, oh, I don't like the art direction, and oh, you know, this, that, and the other. But overall, you're going to be pretty happy what they've done with the Castlevania lore, aren't you? I mean, you know, it was pretty well done. It was faithful to the computer games.
Yeah.
Yet it wasn't, you know, it was done quite well. You know, the animation was fantastic. The storyline was good. It just had the right amount of gore in it, but not too much. Mm-hmm. You know, the characters are fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to the second series when it comes out.
So what are you going to expect then from season two then? What do you reckon is going to happen?
I just think, you know, they're going to have more time to develop the characters a bit more, you know, because obviously they had to cram so much into four episodes. Mm. I think they're going to maybe do a bit more backstory with the Belmont family, you know, Alucard, you know, what's his motivations and stuff, and Cypher and things like that. And just develop the characters a little bit and just take the story forward into, you know, the confrontation with Dracula and all these monsters and that, and see what they can come up with.
Yeah, totally right. So, yeah, so this is the last episode of season one of Not Another Podcast Presents the Castlevania Podcast. Hopefully we'll be back with another Castlevania sort of, like, we'll continue on this feed when season two comes out. John will be joining me. But I do want to say big special thanks to Matthew Lamborn, who joined us last week when he actually showed up. Not like John. God damn it, John. You know, he actually cared. You know, he didn't leave me waiting. You know?
Oh, and I'm sure he gave you a big hug afterwards, mate. And, you know.
Yeah, so big thanks to Matt for that. Yeah, it's been great doing this podcast with you, John. And once again, congratulations to you and Shauna. But yeah, to all the listeners, so this is the end of this podcast, but we've got like a new podcast coming out from Not Another Podcast, which is the Rick and Morty Podcast. And that should be out hopefully every Friday, where we cover another animation, which is absolutely fantastic. And hopefully somewhere down the line as well, myself and John will be doing a Not Another Podcast, which is anything and everything. We can talk about films, we can talk about modern games, we can talk about retro games, we can talk about cats, dogs, animals, whatever the hell we choose to talk about, which is brilliant.
Whatever we feel like on a day, we just do it and we'll go with it.
Definitely. So, yeah, once again, John, where can people find you?
They can find me tomorrow at King's Cross, Platform 5. You know, be gentle to me, okay? I'm a bit delicate. But you can also find me on Twitter, at Pipew.
At Pipew, yeah. You'll get a lot of disappointed people when they show up at Platform 5 King's Cross and they find out that you're not there in the loo through the hole. But anyway, so, yeah, thanks everyone for listening, and see you all next time. Goodbye.
See you later, guys.